and Tis the Law has the lead at the top of the stretch. It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group, Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Thursday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. We are live from our beautiful Clare Court set on a gorgeous morning here towards the end of July. Great day to come up to the races. I mentioned it before. You still have time because it just kicked off the signing over at the Racing Museum. If you want to catch up with Bill Heller, the longtime racing writer for the Gazette. Now, I said earlier, I wanted to call him retired, but he's not. He's still doing this kind of stuff, writing for some other outlets. But if you remember Bill in the Gazette and you want to get a signed book, stop to, at the Racing Museum. 10 to noon today, Fred Hooper, The Extraordinary Life of a Thoroughbred Legend. That all happens this afternoon, or this morning, right across the street at the Racing Museum. Again, 10 to noon, so just got underway. This morning on the show, we'll be joined a little bit later by Bill Gallo from the National Steeplechase Association. They kicked off the jump season yesterday with a nice grade one, the Smithwick, nice race there. So we'll talk a little bit about that, but also set up the steeplechase season here at Saratoga and nationally as well with Bill. Before that, we're going to have a little take piece. We went over and kind of took a look at the inside of the office of the Saratoga Special. We have the Clancy's and Tom Law here. Sean and Joe Clancy and Tom Law visit us quite often, and we talk about the Saratoga Special. And again, just a great publication to take advantage of if you enjoy the racing season up here. But we went over to their office the other day, kind of had them talk a little bit about how it started and how they put it together on a daily and weekly basis up here at Saratoga. So that'll be coming up a little bit later on. But joining me now, Will Alampiewicz from the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association. He's the executive director, and I thought we'd set up the season from the horseman side of the game. Will, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thank you.
Happy to have you on board, and we've known each other going back to your Portland Meadow days out in the great Northwest.
It's about time we have another Shake Shack lunch.
That's
it's
right.
Long overdue.
Yeah, very good. Let's talk a little bit about the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association for people who aren't familiar, and let's kick things off by just talk a little bit about the membership. Who makes up the membership of the of NYTHA?
Yeah, no, great question. So New York Thoroughbred Horsemen's Association represents the owners and trainers that race at NYRA's three racetracks. There's no membership dues or fees. If you race here, we represent you. And NYTHA's mission is to represent the owners and trainers, you know, with our elected officials, ensure our interests are met politically, negotiate with the racetrack, that being NYRA, making sure that we have fair representation, purses are what they should be, and that, you know, our standard of care at the facility is at the highest standard. And then also provide benevolence for the backstretch workers. So the people who work for our members, the trainers, aren't necessarily NYTHA members, but I would say it's our number one item is to provide benevolence. We fund best the Backstretch Employee Services team of New York, and they have a medical clinic on the backstretch and do all this great programming. And then the third item on our mission is very, very important as well, and it leads into an event we just had on Wednesday, which is aftercare. and horse welfare and safety. So those are the three primary principles of our organization.
Nice, and we'll hit on some of those in a little more detail as we go along. But I will commend you. You know, you say you represent the New York Thoroughbred Horsemen, and up here at Saratoga, you do that very nicely. With what might be the best business office in the business of all of horse racing is during the Saratoga meet. You're like right down the stretch from the back stretch from us.
Yeah. I'm a little guilty about it, to be honest with you. I encourage people to stop by and visit us. So again, there's thousands of horse owners that race in New York, and this isn't my little special office. Please stop by. We'll make you a cup of coffee, give you a bottle of water, and let's just chit-chat. What we strive to do is to share information with our members. We've increased our communications. We now host Zooms with NYRA. We just had our annual meeting at Fasig Tipton last Sunday, and we released our annual report. We have a text line for trainers, much like NYRA does, but we share some different information. We really want everyone to know what's going on. Transparency is really important to our organization, and we work hard to collect all this information from gaming, from NYRA, from government, to share it with our members. And one-on-one, face-to-face conversations like we're doing right now, it wasn't possible last year. I have to admit, it was really sad last year. Everyone knows it wasn't the same. Everyone was sorely missed. It's great now. It's vibrant. And stop by. And if you have a compliment, hopefully some compliments, or concerns, just come on into our cottage right there, and we'll chit-chat.
Yeah, it's right about the middle of the backstretch up here at Saratoga, as they say, the best office in all of horse racing. You talked a little bit about the aftercare event last week. That went very well. We have an event coming up also. The Les Garton Foundation will benefit from that. And it's nice to see the horsemen being involved in these kind of charitable events. Talk a little bit about last week and how that went and what's coming up this coming week.
Yeah, so we have a few new board members. We had an election late last year, and we formed some new committees. And we have an aftercare committee and a communications committee, and they got together and they're like, we need to do more to promote the good that we do in the industry. There's a tremendous amount of good that we do. We are a very vital industry in New York. We generate a lot of tax revenue. We create a lot of jobs. And we do look after our horses. We've rehomed over 800 horses through our Take Two, Take the Lead programs. We only send horses to TAA, a lot of acronyms, but accredited facilities, and we're very proud of that. And so we had our inaugural New York Thoroughbred Aftercare Day this past Wednesday, Seth, and it was a smashing success. We had presentations, some jumps on the main track before the races. Uncle Cy was here taking pictures. There was a lineup at one point 50 deep of people waiting to take their pictures. It was unbelievable. And we took the community booth over for the day, and we raised some good money for our aftercare partners. And then each race was named for a local aftercare partner. It's going to be bigger and better, and I guarantee you that this is going to be a linchpin of the Saratoga meet going forward, raising awareness for all the good. Not that we do, but we as in
sure.
The broader
yeah.
We, the industry. There's a lot of hardworking people, and we had a lot of people stopping by and saying how much they appreciated.
Yeah, we had Rick in the other day to kind of promo that event, Rick Schosberg, who's certainly been promoting that and does a great job. And you're... to Take the Lead and the Take Two program certainly help out with, you know, they give us so much enjoyment during their racing careers. It's up to all of us, the horse people and the fans as well, to ensure that these horses get a nice second career or retirement, and a lot of great organizations that play into that. And so it's great to see the aftercare day and how popular it was with the fans as well as the horses.
Yeah, and I should just say that we as an industry contribute over $1 million every year to aftercare. NYTHA contributes directly, NYRA contributes, the jockeys contribute, the owners contribute, and people claiming horses contribute with a 1.5% surcharge. It's not a small amount of money. It's really good. It could be better. It could be bigger. And through this event, we do want to grow that part of it. But our members care deeply about our horses, and this is the way they show it.
Yeah, and as I say, you have the programs that focus on that as well, to Take the Lead and the Take Two. Let's promo what's coming up this week with the Les Garton Foundation event, because that honors some trainers that folks may remember on the New York circuit as well.
Yeah, so Dominic Galluzio, unfortunately passed away too young, much beloved member of our community. And former trainer Gary Gullo has been instrumental in creating Lust Garden Day to honor his legacy and raise awareness for pancreatic cancer and raise money for the Lust Garden Foundation. Ray Amato Jr., a longtime farrier, worked in his last job with the Pletcher Stable. He passed away earlier this year from pancreatic cancer.
I was mentioning it to you earlier. Our friend up in the media booth, Mike Jarbo, passed away a couple years ago, the Times Union writer. So it's one of those charities that has touched a lot of people.
Absolutely. And and we're able to have a day, bring awareness, and also raise money with a trainer autograph session. So we have a long list. I won't go through the names, but it's going to be wonderful. If you want to meet a trainer and get their autograph, come Saturday from 11:30 to 12:30. It's going to be just beside the Jockey Silks porch on the backside. There'll be a suggested donation for the autographs, but if you don't have it, you don't need to. We just want people to show up and support the day. It's going to be wonderful,
yeah.
And I thank Gary Gullo for all his support.
That's great, and those kind of events up here, I think, are very popular with fans, and if it can tie into a charity, even better. And if folks don't know, just ask any of the folks as you come in on Saturday, right?
Saturday.
Silks Room, and they'll know right where it is. And if you've gone to previous autograph sessions, same area there, so go get an autograph from one of your favorite trainers this Saturday, certainly. Let's talk a little bit about a topic that is near and dear to everybody over the past few days, because a lot of smiles, getting back on track. Really, opening day was fun to be over there and just see people you hadn't seen in a while. They were so enthusiastic about coming back. I have said for the last year and a half, I think horse racing did a great job through the pandemic of keeping our game going. I think we did very well as compared to other major sports, so I give thumbs up to all the folks involved on your side of the game and whatnot, because I think horse racing did very well. But now as we move out of the pandemic era, compare a little bit last year to this year and how things are working out now as we're moving out of the pandemic situation.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I first off just need to thank everyone for their patience and following the rules, and then our nonprofit. So we formed a committee, Naira Nitha, Best, that I mentioned, and the Racetrack Chaplaincy Association of New York, as a COVID response. We stopped racing. We were able to focus on the people in the backstretch, keep them safe. We had a quarantine facility. The chaplaincy was delivering food to people who were quarantined. And we were able to get back racing, which is the economic engine for our industry. Yeah. If there's not racing, how do people get paid for looking after the horses?
Who have to be looked at 365.
Exactly. Yeah. Great point. And, we reopened and we stayed open, and the handle was strong. We made new customers, and handle continues to be strong. So Seth, just recently at the Belmont meet, comparing this most recent meet to 2019, we averaged about $13.1 million a day in handle versus $10.8 the year before. Just amazing stats. Field size went up from 6.99 to 7.62. We had some tremendous purses offered this year. You might have seen the press releases. Amazing maiden special weights. Yeah. Maiden special weights are going for 100 over here. And here's a key stat that we like to focus on, because betting is so important to our industry, and field size is important. But when you look at average field size, you could actually have a field of four and a field of 12. That's 16 horses. That would be an average field size of 8. But we know one race isn't necessarily a good betting race, and one's really
sure.
good. But the incremental gains from 10, 11, and 12 aren't great. But so we like to look at how many races had six runners or less. So looking at the Belmont meet from 2019, we had 52% of our races had six or less. This most recent Belmont meet, it was only a third, 33%.
That's huge.
It's huge. Yeah. It means that there's more horses in all classes. It means that we have more people here racing. And it means that we're working with Naira to put on a better card. And so is handle higher because we have more fans, or is handle higher because we're offering a better product? I'd say it's a combination of the two, but either way, it's a great trajectory.
Absolutely.
Let's not stop there. And now with these strong purses, let's get some more horses into the game. And, we have a gazebo on the front stretch of Saratoga for the very first time. We're sharing it with the New York Thoroughbred breeders. Kathy Locke, Membership Services Coordinator, is working it on a daily basis. And I encourage any of your viewers or fans of racing to stop by our gazebo and just introduce yourself. And if we can't answer your question on the spot, we'll get you the answer right away. We'll show you great materials online. We'll introduce you to people. We'll take you to the paddock. We might even take you to our box just so that you can have a great experience, because we're fully committed to ensuring that this product is as popular as possible.
Where is the gazebo?
So it's always hard to explain the front side, right, without a map. But the main administration building where the guest services is. So you go the paddock, one over from the paddock, there's the big mutual bay, and then there's the min admin building. Our gazebo is right there. There's a bandstand that plays music.
Oh, everybody knows where the bandstand is, at the bottom of the escalator.
Yes, okay. right adjacent to it.
Okay, all right. So that's an easy location there. Bottom of the escalator, if you see the bandstand, the gazebo's right
I'm going to start
there.
Using bandstand from now on rather than
everybody knows where that is. Yeah,
yeah, hang a right, then a left.
Yeah, great. So people can stop by there, pick up information. Let's talk a little bit more about the facility. This was nice. I know sorely missed around the racetrack, Carmen Barrera, but she had a new horseman's lounge named after her. I thought that was a great gesture.
It is. It's an unbelievable gesture. Commend Naira for this. So Teal Albertrani is horseman's relations VIP services. She has a new title. If I got that wrong, Teal, I'm sorry. She's managing the room. It's in the porch on the back. The CEO's office used to be there.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful spot. We're going to email out our membership later today. It's open to all owners and trainers. You can stop by, check it out. It's air conditioned. That's a perk, but it's beautiful, and it honors a wonderful woman. So I encourage everyone who's planning to come to the races today that's not wearing shorts or jeans to stop by. There is a dress code. Introduce yourself to Teal, and she'll show you around the room. I guess maybe even if you're wearing shorts and jeans for a quick second.
Very good. And just want to touch on also as we wind up here, we're up here at Saratoga. Saratoga is just so much fun and really kind of the crown jewel of not just New York but nationally racing as well. But as a representative of the horsemen, talk about the importance of racing year-round in New York, because I know a lot of the stables really depend on Aqueduct in the wintertime and whatnot. And then, of course, the rest of the year, great racing at Belmont in the spring and the fall as well. So the importance of year-round racing in New York, not just to the horsemen and whatnot, but to the state as well, because we're talking about the revenue that the state gets from year-round racing also.
Absolutely. It's revenue. It's jobs. You just have to open up a program to see the lines of the horses, to see who's competing here. Sure, there's stable shipping from Kentucky, Seth, but predominantly it's horsemen and women who have been here year-round. We don't have grass racing in the winter, so we know some of those horses are going. But for our fan base, you need to keep them interested in the product year-round, and knowing that we race almost 4 days a week, year-round, 5 days a week in Saratoga, and a small little break at 3 days, it's really, really important. It keeps people employed here, keeps trainers employed here, keeps owners involved in the game. It's very important to the ecosystem. And if I can, I just want to say hi to everyone at Belmont. So this is an amazing place. I love it. But there's still 1,000 horses plus at Belmont. There's still hundreds of workers living in dorms. These horses train there and ship up to race. We still have our nonprofits there and Naira in place. So hello, everyone at Belmont. Sorry you're not here right now, but we appreciate everything you're doing to keep this going, too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point, because there are horses that ship back and forth. So there are a lot of people downstate during this meet. Will, before we let you go, we were talking before we went on the air. I asked if you knew Klaus Ebner, because we were talking about you've got a harness horse going. And Klaus, our friend from Woodbine, has owned harness horses. You mentioned you're good friends with them. But I bring it up because we were talking before we went on. You got one coming up across the street yourself.
Yeah. So I love all horse racing. I'm in a partnership with two very good friends from Ontario, where I'm originally from, in outside of Toronto, and another person. And we were lucky to buy a horse last year as a three-year-old that's actually blossomed as a four-year-old. He finished second in a $250,000 race at the Meadowlands by a hair recently, in a very fast time of 1:47.1.
Ooh!
And so Saratoga has their premier event, the Garrity, this Saturday. It's race six. We drew post six, and George Brennan is going to fly up to drive the horse, so weather permitting. And it's good to have one in any race. But when the stakes are that big, it's very exciting. So
the name.
Oh, sorry, Poseidon Seal Star, horse number six. So, hey, so, if you make it to the track, stop by, say hi, and I'll get you a beer.
Very good. We'll go over and route you home, try to route you home anyway. Will Elam Pijevic, the executive director of NYTHA, I wanted to have him on early in the season to kind of kick things off, and hopefully we'll plug in some more NYTHA folks as the meet goes along as well. But I think you set things up nicely. You guys do a great job kind of helping the horsemen and the owners and the trainers and whatnot, as you say, coordinating with racetracks. And it's also important to coordinate with legislators as well to keep the game moving along. So you guys do a great job, but I appreciate the visit this morning.
Thank you, Seth. I appreciate it.
All right. We will head to a break. When we come back, we'll go into our piece. We were across the street at the office for the Saratoga Special. Kind of took a little behind-the-scenes look at how they put the paper together. We'll have that right after this. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the West. I'm Scott Varley at Saratoga's latest and greatest high-rise luxury condo. Starting in the mid-fives, every condo here has two bedrooms and two baths and upgrades, just like this. Check out these oversized private balconies. We also have a gym, a private lounge, and get this, a heated parking garage. To make a reservation for your private condo at the West, call or text me. I'm Scott Varley at 518-281-6808.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Seth Merrow in the studio, but we're in the outside studio, the best studio in all of horse racing. We are now going to show the tape piece we did a few days ago at the office of the Saratoga Special. We'll talk to Sean and Joe Clancy, Tom Law, also an important cog in the wheel of the Saratoga Special. But if you haven't picked it up yet or you're not familiar, go around town. All the stewards have it. You can find the Saratoga Special at stands on the racetrack or at thisishorseracing.com online. It's a great product that the Clancy's have been doing for quite a while, and wanted to get, as they visit us fairly often, we wanted to take a closer look at how they put the newspaper together. So again, here we are a few days ago, the offices of the Saratoga Special. The Saratoga Special, and every year we have Sean, Joe, Tom Law come in and sit in with us regularly and talk about what's in the Saratoga Special, and we usually allude to how it's produced, and I thought we'd come over to the office and maybe take a look at a little of behind the scenes. But Sean, good morning.
Good morning. Glad to be here. Nice to be back in Saratoga.
Yeah, talk a little bit about that. And we were talking a little bit beforehand and how it's different for you this year. Maybe the staff is a little smaller and maybe things have changed up a little bit, because really it was less than 2 months ago. Kind of didn't know how this was going to work out this year.
No doubt. I mean, we were like everybody. You're just in a holding pattern, seeing if you can come up or not. So we've got a lighter staff. We're doing two issues a week every day during sales week. So we'll do 20 in all, which we used to do 34. Hopefully we'll get back up to 34 again, another maybe next year. But this year with so much in flux, we just, it's a little light for us. But, you know, we'll take the lesson pressure, right?
Exactly. And we are literally, 300 yards from the racetrack down East Avenue. How long have you been in this location?
That's a great question. 4 years, maybe 4 or 5 years, I guess. Fasig Tipton's been great. I mean, they opened the doors for us, and we've been here. It's just, yeah, you're right across from Oklahoma. You can literally watch horses breeze from our office, and It's a great spot. We walked to the track right here for the sales. It's really made life here just so much easier. We used to always be traveling back and forth to some office somewhere trying to get across Broadway at 5 o'clock in the evening. We learned, no, don't do that. You'd be better off in Schuylerville than trying to go up there. So it's great. It's great. It's been a just been a joy really here. And you get the add it, you get some social part of it. People walking home to and from the track and people stopping in, which is fun. So yeah, it's good.
Fill us in, how many years for the Saratoga Special now?
This is our 21st, and we came up here. Our first year was 2001. Last year, we probably call that a half, so like 20.5, I guess, is kind of more like it. But, yeah, it's 21 years, which is hard to believe, really, that we've done it that long. But it's been amazing. It's been a real challenge. There's been highs and lows, obviously, a lot of pressure, but you know, we're proud to be a part of Saratoga, really.
You should be proud because it is actually, it has become part of the Saratoga tradition that people can find the hard copy around town, check it out online, but people love it and look forward to it every year. In the 21 years, how many different locations have you had your office in? Because I remember the one with the arcade building downtown where folks may not realize this, but and we'll hit on that a little bit also, the interns you've had who have gone on in the industry. But I remember I was doing one of the very first, these days to be called a podcast, I think, with Travis Stone, who had it in a little closet in your office.
Exactly. We've had a bunch of locations. We were on, we were across Broadway, the arcade building. We've been a couple times. We were living in the house and had the office, which that we just said that was a disaster.
I mean, can't get away from work.
Complete disaster. But yeah, we've been all over the place. I mean, we had one office when Travis was with us. We had Quinn Kesenick and Travis Stone. I don't know if they're there the same years, but I remember walking in. I think Joey walked in the office and we like Quinn's at a table. And he's talking college football, and he's like, you know, he's doing some like show, like rundown for some ESPN show. And Joe's like, "Who's this?" I'm like, "That's Quinn Kesenick. He's writing for us. What's he doing now?" Like, I don't know. He's doing some college football for ESPN or something. And then another year, same thing. Somebody walked in the office, and I think it was Joe, and Joe says, "What is that?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's Travis Stone. He's doing a radio show." He's like, "Where is he?" I said, "He's in the closet." So Travis was literally in the closet with this, you know, some microphone or whatever. He was doing that. He was living. He literally would walk. He would get out of his bed and walk 4 feet into the office. I mean, that's how that was set up. So we've had some amazing setups. I mean, they've just been. It's been fun. I mean, it's really part of the madness of Saratoga. And I think anybody who's living here at Saratoga, you go through the same thing. People come to town, they're flopping on your couch. Everybody's here. So. For 6 weeks, 8 weeks, you really just enjoy it, and you know it's part of the fabric of Saratoga.
Talk about the yin and the yang, because I'm sure it is very enjoyable to be up here. But of course, both of you guys, you and Joe, live outside of town. Tom Law's in town, but it's got to be tough to be away from the family. But it's got to be just a lot of fun and gratifying, because again, people really look forward to the newspaper every year.
Oh, for sure. Look, we wanted to be a part of Saratoga. I mean, I was up here riding races, and I was finishing my riding career, and I was looking around, going like, "What can I do to still come to Saratoga? Because I love this place. I mean, I want to play some role in Saratoga." And that was really our goal, was to try to become, you know, try to enjoy Saratoga, try to come up with a reason to come back every year. And we feel like we've done that. I mean, it's been really gratifying. It's a great word. It's very, I mean, I take great pride. We both take great pride in it, and we're proud of what we've accomplished, and it is gratifying. What we've tried to do from the beginning is bring the reader something that they're not normally going to get. So if I can bring some experience or some connection or some, you know, I literally went from galloping for Mike Hushin and P.G. Johnson and guys like that up here, and Leo O'Brien. I mean, I literally galloped their horses, and then one summer went, right, okay, I walk over an interview. It was a pretty easy interview. I mean, they knew me. We could talk horse. And so that's what we've tried to do from the beginning, bring that to the readers who aren't lucky enough to be able to get back there and have the access and you know, what be part of the real fabric of Saratoga. So that's what we've tried to do from the beginning, just try to bring something different. You know, we like to do our own exclusive interviews. We like to walk the barns. We like, you know, the stable tour. Fazey Tipton's stable tour is just one of the great additions to the paper. We literally just walk up and down the shed row. And I'm walking up the shed row with Bill Mott, and he's opening up doors and screams, "Hey, look at, what do you think of this?" You know, standing there looking at Royal Delta going, like, wow, and he's talking about what makes her good, and that's just, that's a gift for us to be able to do that, and then to be able to translate that to the readers, that's a great joy. That's really what we like to do.
Yeah, Stable Tour was a great addition. I had compliments on that as well. Oh, and a couple of years ago, and you've since kept it up, the Wisdom from the Chief. That was a great addition as well.
Exactly. I mean, the years I've spent with Alan Jerkins, the Chief, I mean, I would just ride around with him, walk with him, and I always had my little tape recorder running, which was always the funniest thing. I never thought he noticed. And then years later, Leah Giamatti says, yeah, every time he'd see you, here he comes with that damn machine, and I'd have this little tape recorder under a racing form or whatever, I had all this great collection of quotes from the Chief over the years, so we just put that in one day and just started running it, now they're kind of reruns, but I actually every once in a while say, I don't know, maybe they've run its course, and anybody up here is like, no, do not take that out, like, that's got to stay, and yeah, again, to be able to bring that, those little, you know, nuggets of wisdom from a guy that everybody, I mean, he was everybody's hero here. So, we can bring that to readers. It's, again, a great joy.
And before we let go, one of the reasons we're over here is because we want to know how it all happens, how the magic happens. And so we're here in the morning, so it's just you and Joe in here now. But as you guys have said and said over the years, the magic really happens after the races and late into the night. So take us through a typical day at the Saratoga Special here in your offices.
Well, so, I mean, it starts early. We're usually getting the paper off the porch at 5:30. We got to handle kind of distribution. We usually have some interns helping with that, and they help that. But a lot of times we're doing it ourselves. And so we get the paper out there. We distribute it around the track, around the stable area, make sure that's all taken care of. And we're on the backside every morning just walking the beat, you know, whatever stories you're working on. You're trying to do previews. Sometimes I'm always writing a column, so that's always in my head, trying to dream up some column idea. You're always looking for here and there, like worth repeatings and little stories. So we work the backstretch all morning and usually come back here, you know, 10, 10:30, 11, depending on time. We try to bang out as much as we can from 11 to, you know, 3 or something, and then it's like, boom, you got to get back over there for the stake. You cover the stake, 1 or 2, depending on how many stakes there are, how many riders we have. You go over there, watch 2 or 3 races, always catch the stake, come back here, and then just write as hard and as fast as you can into the night. And it's improved. I mean, the deadlines are definitely earlier than they used to be. I mean, we used to, believe it, we've walked out of the office and the paper has been delivered a few times. I mean, it was so late. We're like sending it, and you're like finally kind of decompressing, worrying about next tomorrow. And you walk out and there's the paper. And it's like, how did this happen? Right. So we've never not had a paper that was scheduled. So we've always made those deadlines, but it's usually now it's finished. We're finishing by 10, 11, you know, those big Saturdays stakes, you know, those stakes, Saturdays are tough. You know, Traverse Day, we walk out of here at 3 in the morning, just, you know, bleary eyed. But again, it's what we do. We love it. It's not complaining. It's just it's part of the process, part of the fun.
I'm not sure there's much magic, but here we are. This is where it happens anyway.
And we talked with Sean a little bit and just kind of mentioned it in passing, but that the interns you've had over the years, just give us a little bit of a lineup of some of the people who've come through. And really, the internship at the Saratoga Special was the beginning of a career that led them into the horse racing game in names that are now very familiar to people.
Yeah, for sure. And I can't say we necessarily thought that was going to happen or that it might work the way it's worked. But and I'm going to forget people. But Travis Stone, certainly people know. Gabby Gaudet, Quint Kesenich, Katie Bo Williams just got a job with CNN. She got out of horse racing. She literally works for CNN. So we can say the Special's a ladder to CNN. Who knows? The idea behind it, John Panagot's another one. Brian Natto, who's on some of your stuff. The idea was just to give people, we needed help, obviously, once the Special got big enough that we couldn't quite do it all ourselves. And you brought on people to, you know, help make it happen, very entry-level type positions. You didn't have to have any experience. You just had to be enthusiastic about it. And I guess it's partly our, you know, the Special has a little bit of a reputation or a cachet, whatever you want to call it, with horsemen, that even an inexperienced person working for the Special can kind of step into it, you know. And they made the most of it, you know, and that's probably the biggest key, like anything. People made the most of the opportunity to go talk to people, credit horse racing too for welcoming people to go do this stuff, you know. And I'll never forget Travis. I tell his story most of the time because he literally stopped us walking through the backyard one day at the races, walking past the betting between the paddock and the clubhouse or wherever. And he said, you know, he said, I'm a local guy. I go to college. I want to be a race announcer. And we're looking at him like, and somebody said, I should look, I read your paper. And I thought maybe I could work for you next summer. And he did, you know, and now look, you know, so it's amazing. You know, that part blows me away still that he made that happen.
And as I said earlier, I remember doing the radio show with him in one of your offices when he was in the closet of all places, and now he's up in the announcer's booth at Churchill Downs. I'm curious, what was the impetus for the paper? Because it's completely unique. It covers this one racing season, obviously the top racing season in America, but there it is for the race meet, covering all the races and the previewing and whatnot. But what was the impetus when you go back to the beginning?
Yeah, we were doing, and Sean mentioned it, we were doing Steeplechase Times, which was, I was working for a little daily newspaper in Maryland covering high school sports. I was the sports editor, and we covered, you know, a couple colleges, every once in a while an Orioles game, and a lot of high school and whatever else was coming along, drag racing, you know, anything. And we started Steeplechase Times kind of as a side project. Our dad was a trainer, and we grew up in that game, and I was freelancing a little bit of stuff, writing for some magazines and things about it. And I had been exposed to watching some other niche publications where I worked. Like, they had a printing press, so a printing company, and there was a softball newspaper, and there was a lacrosse newspaper, and there were all, you know, and so we got talking the way people do, and would this work for jump racing? And that's what we did. We started it totally part-time, and it was, you know, nights and trying to make it work, and it was never meant to be anything that we would do full-time, you know. So we had done that. That was 94. And, you know, we'd always come to Saratoga for the jumpers, or I was covering, again, with the paper I was working for, I would cover some of the Fair Hill horses that would come up here and run back then and things. So we started writing about racing a little more and some branching out for the Blood Horse or other places. And, you know, I think it was just one of those, would it work? Would something like that work here? You know, and we, again, I think being able to say this is a part-time deal, we're give it a go. You know, if you were trying to ramp it up from the beginning and it was going to be this big thing, you might have never done it. You know, you're like, well, we could do this. It's 5 weeks or whatever it was then. If it goes completely haywire, we'll never do it again. You know, like, there's no, it wasn't like some, you know, terrible thing hanging over your head. So 2001 was the first year. And yeah, that's, you know, this is the 20th anniversary, which is crazy to think about.
Give people what I think is the Saratoga special difference in that. After a big stakes race, there's that crew of the mainstream media that crowd around the jockey and the trainer. And I know you and Sean and Tom, and when you have the intern writers, are just kind of laying back. And as the players walk out of the winner's circle, you then go up and get the walk back with them. And it just seems like the game plan of the special is to bring a little bit of a different perspective.
Yeah, and it would be harder to do, you know, if we were every day all year round, or if we were trying to meet a deadline. I know those guys who are writing for the Racing Form and things, that, you know, it's going to be up on their website in half an hour. You know, we're not going to do that, you know. So the idea is to try to find a little bit of a different story. We certainly do plenty of group interviews because you have to do them and get them, but you want to try to find a story you can't get necessarily anywhere else. With jockeys, I'll often, and Tom and Sean and whoever's covering it too, we'll get the winning jockey of the stake after the next race sometimes, you know, because it gives it a moment. They're really pressed for time with all the trophy presentations and interviews and everything like that. So if you see that they're riding the last, you're like, or the race after the stake, I'll get them on the way back from that race, and it works much better. Or you'll go try to find the breeder or, you know, the owner who might have more time, that kind of thing. I talked to Tom's covering the race to Diana, but I ended up talking, I walked from the sort of winner's circle back to the paddock with Jimmy Bell with Godolphin afterwards, and we just got talking about that filly. And, you know, it was much more just about her, you know, and the guts and try and all that stuff that she has, and that's the stuff you want. That's what we want, and we hope people, you know, appreciate that and want to read that as well.
Yeah, and as I say, it brings a nice different perspective, and you guys do a great job with that. For folks who are watching this, maybe aren't familiar with the special, even for folks who are familiar with the special, just give us this year's schedule and where the hard copy can be found.
You can pick it up. We have a box right here outside the office on East Avenue. It's 259 East. And there's racks and boxes around the track for sure. And then around town, we've got it in probably 50 or so different stores, Price Chopper and Hannaford and Stewart's and most of the hotels, and the market at Five Points, any of those places, we try to spread it around. It's not everywhere, and I do get occasionally some people who want to pick it up in Albany or they want to pick it up in Lake George. I'm like, we haven't quite navigated how to do that yet, but distribution ramps up, and you can find it. And then online, it's at thisishorseracing.com. It's a big kind of link right at the top. Should be able to get you to it.
Joe, we appreciate you popping in this morning to, again, I wanted to show behind the scenes and show how it was done, as we've had you on the show on the other side plenty. And I will tip my cap on behalf of the betting public over there and just the racing public who enjoy the races just for the pageantry and whatnot. You guys do a great job covering the gamut, and appreciate your work.
Oh, thanks for having us. And again, we're thrilled to be back in Saratoga. I mean, after not coming last year and trying to do it all from remote, and Tom Law was up here, we felt bad that he was kind of the only guy trying to make it work, but we're really happy to be back, and hopefully on and on we go. That never happens again, right?
Juvenile fillies turf, 14 of them across the track. Wheels set on their way. And of the dance on the outside, broke a little sideways with Pro KK, but meanwhile it's going to be stopped. But running on now, and Somali Lemonade's got eight to make up. They come to the top of the lane, stop shopping. Maria's got a lot left. Stop shopping. Maria goes on. Sweet Cat is right there, hard not to like. Royal Body is running on. Past the eight ball, they come. Stop shopping. Maria for the run. Still under a hand ride as they come to the 16th. Stephanie's Kitten coming out late. Yes, Stephanie's Kitten coming fast. Stephanie's Kitten, stop jumping over there. Stephanie's Kitten's water.
Monster Chances broke smartly, but so did Terra from the Cape. On the inside, Sky Lantern the Grey going well. If he can get through, Sky Lantern the Grey looking for somewhere to run. Wide, wide open. It's Terra from the Cape hanging on. Terra from the Cape tries to go all the way. On the outside now, here comes Flotilla in the light blue. Flotilla is absolutely flying. Watch the Chances in there too. But Flotilla has gone right on by. And Flotilla is coming home to score. Flotilla has won it just about two in the end. It'll be Watch the Chances, Summer of Fun, coming on to finish there.
Welcome back to the Thursday edition of Racing Across America, live from Saratoga. And one of the fun parts for me every year of Saratoga is the jump races, the steeplechase races. And so we always like to invite over one of the prime representatives of the sport, the director of racing for the National Steeplechase Association, Bill Gallo. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome back to Saratoga. Happy to have you here to talk a little bit and set up the season and whatnot, and talk a little bit about your Saratoga experience so far, outside of steeplechasing, just seeing over there enjoying the races and how much fun it's been the last few days just to have the fans back.
Yeah, listen, I'm one of those fans. I'm in the box every day. I sit in Miss Diamond's box, former chairman of the board of National Steeplechase. So it's a privilege being here. It's a great box. I'm an avid follower of the game, and on the side I do a little steeplechasing.
Yeah, very good. And as I say, it's been fun to see the smiling faces and whatnot. Part of that was yesterday kicking things off, and I wanted to pull up and just get some of your comments on the opener yesterday, which kicked off the jump season. It was the Smithwick Grade 1 event. We're going to watch the stretch run here. It'll be Baltimore Bucko, and a little bit later on I'm going to tape a piece with the trainer of the winner, Carrie Bryan, who was an assistant to Jonathan Shepherd for a while, but she gets her first Saratoga starter and winds up with a grade one with Baltimore Bucco. She, in fact, ran 1-2 yesterday. And again, we'll take a piece with her and have something with her tomorrow. That'll be fun. But what were your impressions? I thought Baltimore Bucco looked good on the front end all the way around.
On the front end all the way around. That's, if you're going to do it, that's a good way of doing it in a jump race. But, yeah, it was an impressive win by the winner. Kerry Breon trained first and second. She's doing a heck of a job. She's former assistant to Jonathan Shepherd for 10 years, and her horses are. She was very focused on this meet, and her horses are obviously right out of the box. Looks like they're going to perform well for the rest of the meet. Our first race actually was last Wednesday and was canceled because of the soft turf.
The Kaiser.
The Kaiser was canceled on Wednesday. We rescheduled for next Wednesday, so we're happy about that. She's got the 6-5 morning line favorite. And I just redrew the race this morning right before I got here. So we're back up. Kaiser will be back up for Wednesday.
Very good. And so we'll look forward to that. Set us up for the rest of the season on the jump side of things up here at Saratoga.
Well, I had to do kind of reshuffle the deck yesterday after with the movement of the Kaiser. That shifts other things around. So we've got a nice little program for the rest of the meet. We're going to race every Wednesday. Jump race every Wednesday. And we even moved it to Jonathan Shepherd, which had been scheduled for August 19th, a Thursday. We moved it to the 18th, a day earlier, just to be consistent with the Wednesday jump race. So I think that all makes sense. I'm happy about it. I can't be quite honest. We came up here a little bit light, a little bit lean, as far as the horse population is concerned. So it's challenging. We're not going to have as big a field as normal. We normally have average of about 8 horses a race, so you know we're going to have some 6s and 7s. Yesterday was a 6-horse grade one, it's the best of the best for as far as our horses are concerned.
And I've said it many times before. I love the jump races. They're a lot of fun, and there's pageantry is probably the wrong word, but it's just a different feel. But handicapping, people kind of freak out. You look at the PPs, you handicap, and I think I was my top two were flip flopped in the opener yesterday, and I think people, as I say, get a little freaked out. It's not that difficult, and you can start the day off and have a little fun, perhaps. But you have alluded to it. We were discussing before we went on the air that for me, this is a great move because I was a huge, and everybody watching the show, people would make fun of me over on the front side. Hey, Shepherd's got a horse in the 8th. You're on that one, right? Because everybody knows I was a huge Jonathan Shepherd fan. And this year, the other grade one, the other jump grade one at the meet has been renamed to honor Jonathan Shepherd.
It's a great honor. It was very appropriate. I mentioned to you earlier, I reached out to Dave Grenick from the Racing Form, and I floated the idea. I thought it was a good idea. And of course, I went to Naira and I talked to Mark Panza, and everybody was in agreement. It was the right thing to do. Jonathan retired at the end of last season, went out a winner. He was our champion trainer last year, even though it was an abbreviated season. But it clearly was the right thing to do at the right time. We're really happy about it. So that New York Turf Riders Cup is now going to be called the Jonathan Shepherd. Yeah, it's a grade one.
As I say, that to me, that's is very appropriate, and it'll be interesting. Kerry Breon, again, a former assistant to Jonathan Shepherd, and off the race yesterday, heads to the Jonathan Shepherd with some good opportunities there. So that would be kind of fun to see. Also, let's talk a little bit because I also pulled up a replay snap decision winning the Iroquois this year down in Nashville. We'll take a little look at that and more some of the B-roll, some of it's just the pageantry of following that kind of event, because up here at Saratoga we're on a racetrack proper. A lot of the steeplechase season happens at other places, and there's a lot of tailgating and just fun and frivolity, and you can kind of get a sense of it there with the tents and the cars and whatnot. And again, this was the Iroquois this past year at the Iroquois meet this past 2021 down in Nashville. Talk a little bit about the national season, but more importantly, how it is transitioning back to more normalcy this year after the kind of abbreviated season with the situation last year.
COVID hit us hard.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. We struggled last year. We only had 80 races last year total. Luckily, 9 of them were up here. You know, we actually put on a really good racing product up here. We had 9 races, filled them all. We had no fallers, no lost riders. It was, knock on wood, it was a pretty good performance on our part. But the rest of the season was really, really tough. And there's a residual effect, clearly. I was hoping we'd bounce back a lot quicker. We're slowly bouncing back. We had most of our meets in the spring. We're going to have all of our meets in the fall, so that's encouraging. You know what? We're lacking a little bit is the horsepower. We don't have as many horses. Our owners over the winter didn't refuel like they normally do in January, February. They're buying new stock, and there was a lot of uncertainty. So that clearly had a big impact on us. And it's onward and upward. You know, our group of horsemen, they're a very resilient group. And, you know, in the end, give us another year and a half, 2 years, we're going to be fine.
Yeah, looking forward to it. And, again, if folks aren't familiar, it's a lot of fun to go to some of these steeplechase meets. There are some formal racetracks that have the jump races, but line up what may be coming up a little bit later in the year if people want to maybe travel around and have a weekend of something, a different kind of a horse racing experience.
Yeah, we do. We race up and down the East Coast, and we race throughout the spring, and then, of course, throughout the fall. We will pick up in September, and late September we'll be done by the middle of November. And our premier meet is in Far Hills, New Jersey, which is very close to Manhattan, not that far from here, in fact. But that's our championship day, and we always look forward to that. It's an all-stakes card, six stakes races, all over jumps. They'll get 40,000 people. And they tell me that the ticket sales are bursting at the seams right now because we did not run the event last year, or they did not run the event. So there's this urgency to get outside and do something, and we're expecting a big crowd, big purses, and the very best horses in training will be there.
Yeah, I haven't gotten down, but I want to get down because, again, it's an easy ride from our area as well. Other racetracks this year, Colonial doing some jump races?
We are. We have a really stout program. We race every Monday. We have two jump races every Monday at
nice.
Colonial. We have a 12:15 and a 12:50. It's live streamed. And you can pick it up on a live stream. You go to our website, nationalsteeplechase.com, and you can find that live stream on Mondays. And that's a kind of a feeding ground for Saratoga. We've got a lot of maiden races. We've got a lower-end claiming-type horses, so they don't conflict. In fact, what we do at Colonial actually complements what we do here.
And I was talking to you before. It was interesting. I was after the jump stake yesterday, I went down to the winner's circle, and I said to you, Gary Cooperish, when you look at the jump jockeys, it's funny to watch them come in. They're all tall and lanky.
They sure are. Well, you know, they have to be bigger. The weights are higher, obviously. They're doing something different. It'd be very difficult for a flat rider weighing 105 pounds to do what these young guys do. But they're tall, they're lanky. They're very athletic,
and they do a
good job. We got a nice little group of jump riders right now. Most of them imported from Ireland, but it's a good group.
You mentioned flat ride. Didn't John Cougay try the jumps a couple of
Cougay
times?
Cougay tried it. Jacinto Vasquez was the most remarkable one up here. He got on a horse for Shepherd up here years ago, back in the late 70s. I was there. And I remember distinctly, things were a little bit looser in those days, but I was in the steward stand as I normally am, and just about half the jockey colony was from, the flat jocks were all up there watching. And Shepherd put him on a real safe horse, a horse by the name of a Philidor, really good safe jumper, and he went right to the front, and hung on, and then kind of faded in the stretch. But he was, I think he might have finished last, but Vasquez felt like he finished first.
Yeah, I remember over the years. It was always a little bit notable
when
one of those guys would jump on board. You talked about being around in the 70s. I have as well in Saratoga, one of the premier meets in the country, and on the jump side, very prominent as well. Talk a little bit just about Saratoga in general, the racetrack or the city, what kind of changes you've seen over the years.
You know, there's been many changes, but, you know, it's a lot more crowded for sure. But I still have that good vibe and that good feel. It's been a home for me in the summer for 44 years, literally. So it's part of my career. It's part of my life. So my children, not that they grew up here, but they would come for a small bit. My wife would come up. Occasionally, but not often now. She's here with COVID, and she can't travel like she normally does for her job. She's enjoying Saratoga, as I am, always.
Yeah, it's always fun, and it's always fun to talk to you. And as I say, I like the steeplechase races, so glad that things are kind of moving back to normal on the steeplechase side. Looking forward to the steeplechase schedule up here. And again, the renamed Jonathan Shepherd, which I think is very appropriate. So looking forward to that as well. But, Bill, appreciate the visit as always, and good luck on the season going forward.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Bill Gallo, the director of racing for the National Steeplechase Association, as he said, you can visit their website. It's really a great website to keep up with the steeplechase game. So if you're playing the races up here, you can watch replays of races on their website at some of these jump meets and whatnot. So check it out. Just Google National Steeplechase Association. You'll find the website. All right, I'll head to a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up on this Thursday. Stay tuned.
For four generations and looking forward to a fifth, Bruce Cerrone and his family have continued their 99-year tradition of delighting their faithful following with the finest authentic Italian recipes made with the freshest ingredients. Some things have changed in the last 99 years, but not Pinnell's commitment to the finest in Italian cuisine. Pinnell's Italian Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, just minutes from the track.
Find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you, where's the best sports bar in the capital region? Tell them, Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the clubhouse racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
All right, we'll wrap it up for this Thursday here on Racing Across America. Don't forget, if you're up in the area, you still have an hour or so to stop by the Racing Museum. Bill Heller with a book signing. Fred Hooper, The Extraordinary Life of a Thoroughbred Legend. Keep that in mind. Again, have until noontime to stop by the museum right across the street from the racetrack. Let me hit you with some of the promos that are coming up here at Capital OTB. Today, there is a $200 online pick four. I think you still have time to swing by the website and take your shot at getting on the bankroll team. So Mike Callahan putting together a pick four bankroll. That's this afternoon. Check out the website, capitalotb.com. If you want to go down to the clubhouse racebook, it's prize wheel day. Swing by, get your chance to spin the prize wheel to win some potential vouchers and merchandise and whatnot. That's today at the clubhouse racebook. Tomorrow, the bounty bet returns, $675 up for grabs. The bounty, all you have to do is play the late pick five tomorrow, Friday, with your Capital OTB bet account, and you have a shot at the bounty. $100 trifecta challenge tomorrow, Friday, at the clubhouse racebook. The syndicate happens again on Saturday, but do keep in mind, I'm guessing the syndicate is probably full for this week, but it opens up every Sunday, so keep that in mind. You want to jump in for next week's syndicate, check out the website starting on Sunday. First come, first serve, but capitalotb.com. There'll be a $100 pick three play that I will have for some lucky patrons on Saturday. Check out the website for information on getting on the pick three Saturday bankroll team. Clubhouse Racebook, there's a play the board contest on Saturday. Sunday, there's a $100 show pool that I will have for potential a team that gets selected, you can potentially be on the team by, again, checking out the website. And at the clubhouse on Sunday, pick four in a match bet promotion. Whew, a lot of, again, this Saratoga season is full of the potential for some free money, courtesy of Capital OTB with all the promotions and events we have coming up. Check out the website for all of those, capitalotb.com. All right, Seth Merrill for Racing Across America on this Thursday, a beautiful Thursday. Want to come up to the racetrack? You are guaranteed to enjoy yourself because it is a gorgeous day. So hopefully we see you up here. If we don't, we'll look for you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for more here live from the Saratoga Backstretch. Handicapper support at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Racing Across America at 10 a.m. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America. Racing Across America has been brought to you by... Racing Across America is brought to you by... Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga. Just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. Leah Cars for life. Find them on the web at leahcars.com. The new Capital OTB wagering platform. Bet any place, anytime with the new Capital OTB wagering platform. CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier wagering site in New York State. And the Clubhouse Racebook. Can't make it to the track? Make it to the Clubhouse Racebook. 711 Central Avenue, Albany.